This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to She Pivots. I'm Crystal McCrary McGuire. Welcome to She Pivots, the podcast where we talk with women who dared to pivot out of one career and into something new and explore how their personal lives impacted these decisions. I'm your host, Emily Tisch Sussman. Welcome back, Pivoters. This week, I'm joined by the lovely Crystal McCrary. I first met Crystal through my mom, the way I meet most people in my life. But right away, I could tell this woman was impressive, which explains why Sex and the City and Just Like That based a character off of her. Her superpower is combining fun and fabulous energy with an unparalleled drive and desire to tell stories that uplift and empower Black culture and Black women. Crystal is an accomplished producer, director, lawyer. Growing up in Detroit, Crystal always knew she wanted to do something bigger. And throughout her life, she's always pivoted, leveraging her circumstances to create new iterations for herself. From being a two-time New York Times best-selling author to appearing on numerous television networks as a cultural, legal, and political pundit, and who can forget she also co-hosted The View, she's really done it all. On top of it all, Crystal's life has revolved around basketball for decades now. Her oldest son, Cole Anthony, now plays professionally for the Orlando Magic, and her other two children, Ella and Leo, also excelled in the sport, taking up nights and weekends for as long as she can remember. After years in the youth basketball scene, she's teamed up with her son, Cole, to share their experience and connect young basketball players with local basketball resources through their new app, Game Up. Crystal embodies someone who's always allowed herself to steadily explore and pivot, leading with the personal. Hope you enjoy. Welcome, Crystal McCrary McGuire. I am so excited to have you on She Pivots.
I'm really excited to be here, Emily. Thank you so much for having me.
You have been a long inspiration in the pivoting for me and just in general in the, like, you bring the kind of energy that I aspire to bring into the world.
Thank you.
Like with generosity and with kindness and general boss ladiness. But let's take it back. Let's go to the beginnings. Okay, so you grew up in Detroit.
Yes, I did.
Did you think you were going to stay in Detroit or did you think you'd ever leave?
Well, I always knew I wanted out. I mean, listen, I love Detroit and it's had an incredible resurgence right now, but I just was more so interested in the arts. I was interested in creativity and content creation. And I didn't have anyone in my family who'd ever had a quote unquote creative profession. I had a lot of lawyers, few doctors, and I really didn't have that roadmap in front of me. And I guess as a kid, whatever it was that was incoming on my end, I was informed that there's something in New York City that's pretty cool. You know, I didn't know what it was. I'd never been, but I really did always want to move to New York City.
If you hadn't actually been, do you remember, like, was it images? Was it movies? Like, what kind of drew you to the city?
Sure. I mean, it was certainly images. You know, I will say this, not the most glamorous, but certainly gritty. But I do remember as a child seeing the movie Fame.
Oh,
with
Fame,
Irene Cara,
yes.
Debbie Allen.
Oh, my God. That Times Square. I mean, well, first the dancing up on the taxis.
Of course. Of course. In the school, the liberal arts school, the diversity, you know, the music, the excitement. There was just something that I saw in that film and all of sort of the imagery and messaging around New York City. And I think I had a cousin that had moved to New York City, and there was something sort of exotic and far off. But I will say, you know, the part of Detroit that I grew up in, we used to joke, it was like a little mini United Nations. And I grew up in the 70s. In downtown Detroit. And so I grew up really, and I feel very fortunate to have grown up in a community that was, you know, just multicultural, ethnicity, gender, everything.
Despite living in downtown Detroit, Crystal started to travel out to Grosse Pointe to go to school, a wealthy and largely white area just a few miles from downtown.
Yes, I did. I was I wasn't like bused in the traditional sense that I now understand busing to mean. But in hindsight, there was that feeling that I imagine a kid, you know, going from a fairly urban community out to the suburbs, you know, where like the Fords of, you know, their family went to school, an industrialist, and, you know, people whose families were much more financially well off, so to speak, than my family. And frankly, racism, me being other, was made aware to me at the schools I went to in Grosse Pointe in a way that they had never been made aware to me going to school in downtown Detroit. I became aware that, oh, you're a Black girl. I remember going to a party in middle school because I went to the school called Grosse Pointe Academy and then the school, University of Liggett. They sound like they are.
Yes, I think I can picture it
yes,
from the name.
Grosse Pointe Academy. and I remember going to a party at a classmate's class. And this is actually, can't make this up as I'm thinking about this. Now I'm thinking about this young lady's name. But we did. We had Muffies. We had Carringtons. No, we really did. I mean, it was, remember, like the preppy handbook. But I remember going to a party and she lived in this mansion. You know, I didn't know that people could live in houses like this, right? And I remember a bunch of kids being outside. And I don't know what we were doing. I was the only Black girl. But then I saw this Black boy there that I'd never seen before. He wasn't a classmate. And my host said, oh, you'll like so-and-so. He's like you. And I was like, what? And then I gathered that he was the son of their Jamaican nanny. And they placed us together based on, you know, our skin color. And again, I had no problem meeting him and talking to him. But the fact that I'm the only Black girl, he's not even there really as a guest. He's like just there as the nanny's son. And I was made acutely aware of I was different than the rest of the kids at this party. Things like that. I mean, it wasn't, you know, that wasn't like overtly, you know, rude. I don't know how to, you know, like it, I know it wouldn't happen to my kids in the same way growing up in New York City. But I was definitely made aware of my otherness and how I was raised. You know, we didn't really talk about race. You know, we didn't talk about political issues. That just was not what we talked about. I was actually raised by my maternal grandparents. They raised me as my mother and father. because my mother, my biological mother, had me at a very young age. She basically left me at their doorstep. And they're my parents, right? But they were Depression era parents born in the Jim Crow South, who their families migrated north to Detroit for economic opportunity during the, you know, the Great Migration, as Isabella Wilkerson writes about in The Warmth of Other Suns. I mean, it was very much that. And so they came through the Depression, and they weren't children of the 60s. So it was just a different way of, there wasn't like activism around civil rights in our household. I mean, I really didn't start learning and leaning into that part of who I am really until I was in college.
Did they just not discuss civil rights, or was there, did you get the sense that you really shouldn't be talking about it?
They just didn't discuss it. They didn't. And you know, again, it was this prop, you know, I'd say, quote unquote, properness, right? My mom, she was born in, she turns 98, but she was born in 1925. She's still alive.
It's incredible.
My dad was born in 1923. He passed away. And also just the age wise. I mean, when I was, as my parents slash grandparents, they were older parents. And look at this, in the 70s, you know, they were already married, had a family established. As you know, my mom was a school teacher, then a principal, public school teacher and a principal. My dad worked for Ford Motor Company. And so it was the era of where you didn't change jobs.
Right.
There was no pivot.
Right. There was no pivoting.
There was no pivot. You know, that was not that same type of optionality and even awareness of, particularly as it relates to women. And my mom, on one hand, she was made money as a school teacher and then a principal, but she wasn't going to do anything. There was, I'm going to stop being a teacher and go and start a singing career or start a podcast, or there was none of that.
Yeah, it just wasn't the vibe. If we're moving through the timeline.
Yes.
So did you always think that you were going to go to law school, like so much of your family?
Well, I did really look up to the lawyers in my family, you know, because they were sort of that next generation of getting advanced degrees beyond the undergraduate degree. And there was this upward mobility associated with one that had a law degree. I can't say that I was particularly interested in it, other than it, to me, symbolized stability. There was a certain status to it, you know, particularly as I juxtapose that to the people that I went to school with. I just looked at that as, this is an opportunity to sort of excel. But I wasn't particularly interested in it. I was an English major in undergrad and would have loved to have gone straight from undergrad into a creative profession. I didn't know what that could have been, what that looked like. As I said, I didn't have anybody in my family that was in the, you know, in the arts. In my family, like so many families of my generation, were, what are you going to do with a quote unquote creative profession? Are you going to get health insurance with that? And so I sort of took that path of least resistance, which was law school, took that path that had a level of familiarity and went to law school, graduated from law school in 1995, and went to a firm in New York City called Paul Weiss. And I did what many people who wanted to go into the arts, I became a shadow artist as a lawyer. What Julia Cameron writes about in The Artist's Way so eloquently. And I was an entertainment lawyer. So I wasn't, earning a living as an artist, but I was representing artists. But I got through. You know, I got through. I graduated. I got a job.
You got a good job.
I got a good job. I passed the bar exam on the second time.
Well, all that matters is that we're barred now.
Right. And started practicing law, representing all of these really extraordinary entertainers, writers, playwrights, choreographers, authors, visual artists, et cetera, and really hated every minute of it.
Wow.
But my one big But in that is it showed me that there is a roadmap for one to have a creative profession. And so from that perspective, it was instructive. That was one of the great things that came out of it. I did learn, you know, just the reasoning that one learns, the writing that one must practice to be a lawyer. And then I also met a lot of really fantastic people. In fact, one of the men who was an associate at Paul Weiss, a senior associate when I was a young associate, a man by the name of Andrew Hurwitz, left Paul Weiss also, like I did, a little after me, but he started this company called the Film Sales Company. Flash forward many years, he actually sold, I went to him to sell my first film that I produced and met him because of being, you know, at Paul Weiss together. So
it wasn't totally for nothing.
Oh, absolutely. No, I do believe though that everything, so cliche, everything does happen for a reason. Every coincidence is a meaningful coincidence. I do believe in serendipity. And so I can sort of sum up my whole legal journey as being a part of that. That was a huge stepping stone for me on the next path in my journey.
We talk so much on this show about how every pivot is different and the time frame is different. You know, some happen in an instant, but some happen over time. So what was that timeline for you of starting to write, staying at the firm? And what was the thing that made you feel like, okay, it's time to leave the firm. I'm ready to go into this full time.
I think I knew that my days were numbered at the firm because I just had, I was less than passionate. I was barely making it there, just emotionally and mentally. And it was kind of making me, depressed is not the right word, but just down. It was, every day I just really did not look forward to going to work. And I took enough time to kind of save up some money. I did have a husband that was making some money, but I didn't want to have to rely on him.
Crystal was married to her first husband, Greg Anthony, an NBA player for the New York Knicks at the time.
So I kind of got a plan in order that I said, you know, let me finish working on this book. And I think it was when
Rita Ewing, one of her best friends, who in fact introduced Crystal to Greg and was writing the book with her.
Rita and I got a completed draft of the book, found an agent. And I think it was right around that time that I felt ready to make the leap and leave the firm. And so that was sort of like the first pivot. Didn't have a buyer yet, didn't have a publishing house yet, but I felt pretty confident about it. I felt like, I'm sure you've talked to people who are passionate about a particular profession or a dream or an idea or something, and they bulldoze ahead with it and they don't necessarily have a plan B. I guess my plan B was to stay at the firm, but I knew that I had to cut those ties if I was really going to ever give it a go to have a creative profession.
So Crystal cut ties. She leaned into her book, eventually publishing Home Court Advantage in 1999. The book explored the flip side of the basketball scene, highlighting the stories of the women who lived in the shadows of, quote, great men. Though she never says it directly, the book was almost certainly a reflection of Crystal's personal life and the other accomplished women around her.
We would joke about it or talk about it all the time. The wives and girlfriends of that New York Knicks team in that era, like let me set the stage for you. Like, so Pat Riley was the coach. And so you had Patrick Ewing at the time, his wife, Rita Ewing, who's a very good friend of mine. She's a lawyer and she's also an entrepreneur. You had Herb Williams. His wife had a PhD. You had, you know, Lisa Bonner at the time. She's a lawyer, entrepreneur, real estate developer. I mean, I could just go on and on with that list of really impressive women. Home Court Advantage was derived out of something called The Morning Pages, which was an exercise in that book, The Artist's Way, which was written by Julia Cameron, which she recommends for people that want to begin writing. She recommends this thing called The Morning Pages, which are you wake up every morning and before you do anything else, write a minimum of 3 pages in a brain drain style. Don't edit yourself. Just do that. Commit to that act of writing and the discipline of it. Don't edit yourself and just see what you get after a few months of doing that. And I did that, you know, in hindsight, I'm proud that I actually had the discipline to do it, but I got up every morning, like an hour before this was while I was actually still at Paul Weiss, and did that. And that was the beginnings of Home Court Advantage. And I said, Rita, I was like, I've been doing this. This came up. It was originally actually called Seasonal Ties because it was about the season ties, you know. And she said, because she and I would laugh so much about the various stories being these wives. And we talked about it and thought it would be really fun to write it together. And we did. And it became Home Court Advantage. And we were fortunate enough to, you know, get the first book published. And it was a New York Times bestseller. And many efforts to make it into a movie, a series. I think I was just telling somebody the other day, I said, I think I made more money from optioning that book than I did from my actual advance.
Even after Crystal's divorce from Greg Anthony, basketball was ever present in her life because of her children. When we come back, Crystal talks about balancing the demands of her own life with her kids' extremely active youth basketball career.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now back to the show.
You have 3 children who are very involved in basketball in particular. You are a very present parent. And you've said that you started in national championships with your oldest when he was as young as 4th grade. And even younger once you got to the 3rd child.
Yes.
But that takes time. That takes time and that takes brain power and bandwidth and time in your, it takes space in your life and in your thinking. How did you navigate? Like, I don't think there is such a thing as work-life balance, but how did you navigate being so present?
You know, it's been a real journey. I mean, what is it you hear? You can have everything, just not at the same time. And then the great Jackie O quote of, I'm only as happy as my least happy child. And so there's kind of like a mashup of those that I think that every working mom tries to walk in balance of that. And I have tried to be as present as I could possibly be, but I know that a lot of things have fallen through the cracks.
And your kids are approximately 10 years apart, like the two and then the younger one.
Right, right. So yeah, Leo's 11 and Ella is 21 and Cole is 23. So I have like the 10-year age difference between my youngest and my middle, and then the 12-year age difference between my youngest and my eldest. So in any event, yes, of course stuff falls through the cracks. You know, of course I have not always given the best advice. But I guess what I have sort of gotten to the point of, you can always be doing more, but you can always be doing less also.
Hmm. Ooh, what do you mean by that?
I've struck a balance with myself and have decided to be a little easier on me. In these last several years, I've decided to show myself some grace and do what I can do. You know, because now I have three kids in three different states at three very different stages of their lives. You know, I have a fifth grader who, that's the hands-on, taking to basketball practices, taking to birthday parties, taking to mommy and me activities, taking to Broadway. But then I have a college student who's a junior in college, who there's parent weekends. There's, you know, she wants me to be there ready to edit. She writes for the Harvard Crimson. She wants me to be there to edit something for her, or, you know, there's a breakup or something to talk about, that, you know, just there to be present in that way. But there's never just enough time. Like, there's parents weekend. I'm sorry, I can't come up for the whole weekend. I can come up for one night. Well, mom, that's not enough. Why? You know, things like that. My, you know, eldest, who's a professional basketball player and plays for the Orlando Magic. And, you know, there's a part of me that, gosh, I wish I could live down in Orlando. Well, maybe not. I wish I could be at every game, home and away, but I can't. And he has, you know, like, he's like, other parents are down here. Other parents, you know, but other parents have packed up and moved. All my teammates' parents, they packed up and moved to Florida, and our neighbors with, you know,
like, I have things to do here.
I was like, I love you, baby, but I have a job and you have a little brother who's here. I mean, you know, so, and I realize that this is a very fortunate, blessed situation, what I am describing. But as you're living and going through it as a parent, as a working parent, you do feel that, well, at least I feel that I'm not there for everything. And I may have bouts of guilt about that from time to time, but I do a lot.
And she does. Crystal continued to evolve her creative career, eventually moving into film.
But do you feel like it was a pivot into documentary films? Was that another like big moment for you?
Before I did a documentary film, I actually produced a scripted film that I was asked to come on board. It's called Dirty Laundry. It was such a fun film. And it was like, became a festival darling, did it independently with a group of folks. It was a gay love story that had this incredible cast.
Sheldon Davis seemed to have it all.
Perfect.
Fate is about to crash the party.
Hello there.
I'm looking for Mr. Davis.
I'm Mr. Davis. Who are you?
Gabriel, your son.
Oh. Oh, this is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Dirty Laundry.
And so that was my first foray actually into filmmaking.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Soon after producing Dirty Laundry, Crystal was asked to produce regularly at Viacom. While working on documentary-style shows for BET and MTV, she fell in love with the format.
So there were a few shows I did there, Leading Women, Leading Men, where we profiled men and women of color who've impacted the country socially, politically, culturally, artistically. And so I was doing that, which coincided with Cole playing this youth basketball as like a third grader, fourth grader. And I was also the team mom. All the kids would always come to our house. I was always, you know, carpooling, doing all that stuff, and really got to know these kids, Cole's teammates, that were from an array of socioeconomic backgrounds that otherwise Cole would have not gotten to know kids like that, being, you know, frankly, being raised in Manhattan. Again, we call it a melting pot. But let's be honest, Manhattan, it's, you know, economically prohibitive for many, and you don't get much diversity in that. And so I was struck by how different all of these young men, all these boys, all their backgrounds were. But they were brothers. They were teammates. And I just felt like there was something there in their stories.
Leveraging her background in documentary-style film, Crystal knew this was her moment to bring the personal and the professional together.
And I said, I'd love to put a camera on these boys and really kind of highlight their friendship, also to show that Black boys aren't monolithic, to show their common goal of wanting to win a national championship. And that became Little Ballers. There were some kids that their families were immigrants from Jamaica. There was a boy on the team whose family was homeless. There was a boy on the team whose family lived in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and the mom had him playing so he could get away from his community, which was really filled with a lot of gang violence. And I looked at this also as I'd love to make a documentary that shows the tells the story of these boys before the dream has died, that you're not actually going to go to the NBA, and that everybody has a dream, and let's capture them in this last age of innocence.
When you think of AAU, I think of everybody on the team just having the same goal, and that's to get a college a scholarship and then playing in the NBA. You know, that was everybody's dream. Everybody wanted to make it.
Everybody has dreams. Everybody has a talent. If you're a basketball player, it's nothing to be the best in New York. You want to be one of the best players in the country. If you ain't trying to be the best player that you possibly be, do something else. That's in anything. If there's a mustard seed of doubt, you might as well quit. If you ain't trying to be the best, then what are you doing it for?
Yeah. How is it that basketball became this cultural cathedral in the African-American community? It's almost like the African tribe, in that you can have individual expression within the context of a tribe. And the same thing with basketball. You're part of a team, the passing, all that, but you could also create, you could also be individual as well.
And that was my first time directing a documentary. And again, did that independently. I call it guerrilla filmmaking, forged ahead, and ended up with one of my producing partners who was representing, her name's Tammy Brooks. She was representing Amari Stoudemire at the time, who was playing for the Knicks. Brought him on. He loved the story. Brought him on. He became an executive producer. He was in the film. That was a pivot, you know, and it was a pivot based on my life, my kids' lives.
Crystal is continuing to work at the intersection of the personal and professional with her latest venture with her son, Cole, for the app Game Up.
So tell us about this new venture and new relationship with your son, a business partnership.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of like going full circle with your kid, you know, Cole likes me again after high school. He's finally listening to me again. His favorite thing that he said to me, you know, like his first two seasons in the NBA when I tried to give him some advice is, you know, Mom, listen, I'm a grown ass man. I don't need you. I'm paying my own bills. I don't need you telling me this, that, that, and the other. You don't, you know, I finally realized I cannot give him any basketball advice because he knows more in his one pinky than I will ever know. But what has been happening for 10 plus years is that I have been that basketball parent that people would come to and say, can you make a recommendation for a team for my kid? Can you make a recommendation for a developmental program, for a trainer, for a tournament, for a camp, for this, that, and that, and the other? And I had been spending hours and hours on calls, on emails, on text messages, sharing knowledge with parents who really have just been trying to navigate this youth basketball landscape that's getting bigger and bigger, that's getting more and more complicated, that's gotten more and more expensive. And I really started aggregating all of this information in the youth basketball landscape. And people would ask Cole the same thing, but from a player perspective. And I started talking to him about this idea. And I said, why don't we make sort of a one-stop shop platform where we can defragment this information, make it sort of like the Angie's List for, you know, youth basketball. And that began the beginning of Making Game Up.
Navigating youth sports can be tough for parents. There are so many options out there, but there's a new sports app that's changing the basketball landscape. It's called Game Up. New York native and NBA point guard Cole Anthony and his mom, Crystal McCrary McGuire, teamed up to create a one-stop shop to help parents out and connect their kid with the best basketball team and trainer based on their age, goals, and location. Joining me now to speak more about Game Up is co-founder Crystal McCrary McGuire. She's also a New York Times bestselling author and producer, just to name a few. Good morning, Crystal. Thanks for joining us.
I went to Renz. From Renz, I went to Team Rio in Jersey. And then high school, I played with PSA Cardinals. I played with, what is that, 6-7 different AAU programs, different levels of youth basketball.
And went through all of these great programs that developed him at every stage. And that is really what parents are looking for. Most parents that are trying to find a program for their kid, it's not like they enter into it saying, I have this elite kid that's, you know, going to go D1 or go to the NBA. That may be the ultimate dream, but they're really looking, trying to figure out how to navigate this system. And Cole, as my son, as a resource, and as somebody who's truly lived it as a player, was the perfect person. And plus, we get along pretty well.
Tolerator.
And so we've been working on it together. We hired, you know, we seeded it ourselves. Again, just forging ahead. Seated ourselves.
Yep.
That's right. Got a chief app designer and coders, computer software engineers, got the graphics UX UI designers, got the chief strategy officer, chief operating officer, and built this. And we launched in the tri-state area. And now in Q1 2024, we are expanding across the U.S.
Is there something that holistically, not just on Little Ballers, but is there something that at the time you feel like you felt like was a real low point, negative, like you weren't really sure you were going to get out of it. And then now in retrospect, you see it as having really launched the next step for you.
I actually had an experience where it wasn't that it was, well, it was rather male dominated, but I had an experience with somebody under the Viacom umbrella when I was working on the shows there that I was executive producing and creating. There was a very senior executive there that I will never forget it. Like, I think I was talking to him sort of like one of those career advice kind of talks. And I will never forget. Again, you remember those things that light a fire under you? But I remember he said to me, well, you know, Crystal, and this was before I had done Little Ballers. And he said, listen, if you just keep reaching, you know, for that low-hanging fruit. He called it low-hanging fruit. He said, if you keep reaching for that low-hanging fruit, there's something there for you in that. See where that gets you. And I just remember being so offended. Low-hanging fruit? Like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
What are you? Are you trying to give me a ceiling where I'm just beginning?
But it does. It lights a fire.
It lights a fire. And, you know, so that was a period that did inspire me. And it was, you know, there's so many other parts of that, but there was certainly that, oh, I'm going to show you. You know, just you wait.
Exactly. Okay, one last question. What everybody wants to know, what is it like to have a Sex and the City character based on you?
Well, listen, first of all, the fact that the character, quote unquote, inspired by me is played by the, pretty amazing Nicole Ari Parker. I'm like, okay, I'm just, you've flattered me beyond. It's kind of cool.
Totally.
It's kind of cool. I mean, Susan Fales Hill, who's a writer there and a very good friend of mine, you know, and then there was Kelly Goff who was there. She's no longer with the show, but they somehow were inspired by some aspect of my life. I think there are many inspirations for LTW's character, but I'm just, you know, really flattered.
Did they tell you, or you just watched it and you thought, oh, we seem similar?
I started getting rumblings maybe 4 or 5 months before the first season came out. And I was like, what? I was like, that just sounds crazy. I had that one girlfriend, you know, who's like the gossip, the town crier.
Yeah.
And she was like, girl, I heard that there's a character, Sex and City, 3 kids, documentary filmmaker, husband's running for mayor. Because at the time, my husband, Ray, was running for mayor. And they're like, that certainly sounds like you. And then it started picking up momentum. And, you know, look, I've been in sort of the writer room places and they're like, this characters like so-and-so. This is sort of, think of sort of, so I get how that can happen. I think that there are many people that sort of, you know, are part of the inspiration, but, you know, if you want to say it's me, I'll take the good part of it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for coming to She Pivots.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy and an honor as always. Thank you.
Oh, you're the best. Crystal still lives in New York City. Her weekend still filled with lots of basketball, and now growing Game Up to be available to youth basketball players across the country. To learn more about Crystal, follow her on Instagram at Crystal McCrary. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of She Pivots. If you made it this far, you're a true pivoter, so thanks for being part of this community. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, leave us a rating. Please be nice. Tell your friends about us. To learn more about our guests, follow us on Instagram at ShePivotsThePodcast or sign up for our newsletter where you can get exclusive behind-the-scenes content or on our website, ShePivotsThePodcast. Talk to you next week. Special thanks to the She Pivots team, executive producer Emily Edovolosik, associate producer and social media connoisseur Hannah Cousins, research director Christine Dickison, events and logistics coordinator Madeline Sinovic, and audio editor and mixer Nina Pollack.
I endorse She Pivots.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.